Welcome from St. David's Cathedral, Hobart, for our service of morning prayer on this Palm Sunday morning. We're so delighted that you've joined us in our spiritual fellowship. We welcome everyone from the St. David's community, from across the Diocese of Tasmania and other parts of the country. We're so happy that you are joining us in this service. A special welcome to those who don't normally attend church. We hope and pray that today's service will be an encouragement to you. We are in difficult days as a nation as we continue to face the coronavirus pandemic, and as many have lost their jobs and all of us are experiencing isolation. We are so fortunate to be able to do this, to protect ourselves and each other. Many in the world do not have that luxury. We encourage you to draw near to God in these days. To commence our worship, we hear from Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. And from 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Open our lips, O Lord, and we shall declare your praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Dear friends in Christ, during Lent we have been preparing to celebrate our Lord's death and resurrection. Today we come together to begin this solemn celebration in union with the Church throughout the world. Christ enters his own city as the Prince of Peace to finish his work as our Saviour, to suffer, to die, and to rise again to win for us the peace that passes all understanding. We go with him in faith and love, so that, united with him in his sufferings, we may share his risen life and his peace. The people of Jerusalem hailed Jesus as Messiah on Sunday and called for his death on Friday. We who have claimed Jesus as our Lord with our lips this day all too often deny him with our lives. For this difference between our confession and our conduct, let us confess our sins to God in penitence and faith, knowing that he who prayed, "Father, forgive," intercedes for us. Let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. God of all mercy, we humbly admit that we need your help. We have wandered from your way. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us, wipe out our sins, and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we may live the new life to your glory. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John writes, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." We're going to hear now from God's word, but before we do that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding. As we listen to your word, may we know you better, love you more, and learn to please you in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 118, beginning at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called the house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. Hear the word of the Lord.
Someone asked me this week what Easter would be like this year. And the answer is very strange indeed. Perhaps like no other Easter in the history of the Christian church, will churches be so empty and deserted as they will be around the world this year? The celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection is the high point of the Christian year, but this year it will be very different as we celebrate at home and in some cases by ourselves. We must not miss this moment to see what new insights and new perspectives emerge. Perhaps as we prepare this week, a more focused and quiet time of reflection on the passion of Christ will be ours. And I invite you to embrace this unusual season and see what the Lord has in store for you. Some resources for this week are available on our website, and we'll invite you on a journey with us on the pathway to the cross and the empty tomb this week. We'll remind you again at the end of the service. But of course, the Easter week begins with our celebration today, a welcome bright spot in the somber season of Lent, which is our time of preparation, with the remembrance of the first so-called Palm Sunday, and with it, the focus on the identity of the man Jesus. People like parades and public celebrations. Normally, crowds would line Macquarie Street in Hobart, just a few metres away from me now, in a few weeks' time for the Anzac Day parade. This year will be eerily quiet. We can only anticipate the street celebrations when we finally are released from home isolation at the end of this pandemic. I'm imagining a great day of joy, and I'm already looking forward to shaking hands and giving a hug or two. It will be full of poignant meaning, won't it, as it will tell the end of this virus that is threatening our lives. Our readings this morning remind us of a street celebration on the road to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And this street celebration is full of poignant meaning as well, meaning that prepares us for the story to unfold in the week ahead, culminating in the events of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Matthew, like each of the other gospel writers, recounts this moment in Jesus' life. As he tells the story, Jesus has been heading for Jerusalem since back in chapter 16, and finally, here in chapter 21, he is near the city, atop the final ridge on what is known as the Mount of Olives. Jerusalem lies below him across the Kidron Valley. This is the view from the same spot today. Jesus sent two of his disciples off with a strange request. "Go into the village ahead of you," he said, "and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." Well, the friends did as they were told. They got the donkey and they brought it back and laid their outer garments on it. Jesus hops on the donkey and heads off down the hill towards the city gates of Jerusalem. All this took place at the time of the Jewish Passover, and that meant lots of people were travelling to Jerusalem and there were crowds on the roads. A remarkable thing happened. Rather than making his way unnoticed through the crowds begin to erupt. They took off their outer cloaks and they laid them on the ground and they tore branches off the trees by the road and laid them down, forming a carpet for Jesus and his donkey. Then they started to chant, "The ones up ahead and the ones behind, Hosanna to the Son of David," they said. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Imagine the people flocking onto the road, joining in with the singing and dancing, the cheering and clapping as he made his way down the hill, across the valley and up to the city gate. When Jesus gets to Jerusalem, with all this excitement, you might expect a civic reception or a celebration. But Jesus does a very odd thing. He goes to the temple and he finds people there, as usual, selling things in the forecourt. The story has it that this fills him with so much anger that he flips the tables and he says, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." Then, after healing some people and the whole thing making the temple officials really angry, he heads back out of the city to the nearby town of Bethany. This is not just a quaint story, a sentimental fable, or even a random event, but it has all the hallmarks of a deliberate plan by Jesus to make a point. He didn't need to ride a donkey for the last kilometre or two, when he'd walked 80 kilometres to get there to Jerusalem. He wasn't even intending to stay in Jerusalem, but he went back to Bethany at the end of the day. A clue to what this story is about is what happens in the middle. In verse 10, we read that the whole city was stirred up and asked the question, "Who is this?" And it's a very good question that begs an answer. An answer that is found in the story itself. And it's a very good question for us to get straight in the week leading up to Easter. For what he will do next weekend is grounded in our answer to this question, who is this? And I might say that the answer to the question, who is this, is also a pivotal one as we live through the coronavirus pandemic, as I hope we'll soon see. The first answer to the question, who is this, in the story is this: Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah was an anticipated figure in the first century. The word means God's anointed one, his chosen one. And the hope was for a Messiah who was going to be a mighty liberator, especially to liberate the people from the rule of their Roman overlords. The popular view was that he would be a mighty warrior riding on a horse. But the Jewish scriptures painted a very different picture. The prophet Zechariah foretold the coming of the Messiah, and he's quoted for us in verse 5. He says, "Tell your daughter Zion," that's Jerusalem, "look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Rather than coming on a horse as a mighty warrior, the Messiah would come in humility, in peace, in gentleness, riding on a donkey. Jesus' action of getting and riding a donkey says a lot. He's saying he is God's chosen one, the anointed Messiah, God's deliverer, as was spoken about by the prophet all those years ago. Those with ears to hear would know. The second answer to the question, who is this, is Jesus is the King. Two things in this story show Jesus as the King. The first is the way he got his donkey. It was the right of ancient kings to requisition things for their needs. I need a donkey, and so I go out and get one. And this is just what Jesus does. The Lord has need of it, he said, and so he gets it. But the second clue is his actual ride into town. You see, Israel was a walking country. Everyone walked, and this was the only way to get from A to B. Unless, of course, you were sick or a VIP. And then you might ride on an animal. The fact that Jesus took a ride on a donkey says volumes about his status. He was coming as a king. And the crowd knew this. And they showed it by shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." David, of course, being one of Israel's greatest kings. The phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," from our psalm this morning, was reserved especially for the arrival of the King. Make no mistake, this very deliberate act of Jesus and the response of the crowd clearly makes the point. This was a royal procession. And if that were not enough, the third answer to the question, who is this, is that Jesus is Lord. And we find this in his actions in the temple. The temple in Jerusalem was the center of Jewish religious life, and by Jesus coming in and taking charge and overturning the tables, he deliberately put himself against the temple authorities and states his claim in the worship life of the people. In fact, what he is doing is showing himself to be the Lord. Well above the religious practices of the day, he had called people to believe in him. As Jesus prepared for the week ahead, when he would die for the sins of all, he lets people know exactly who he is: the Messiah, the King, and the Lord of all. It seems to me, as we face this coronavirus and all of its challenges, which are many, and as we prepare for this week leading to the cross this coming Friday, knowing Jesus is Messiah and King and Lord makes all the difference. You see, as the Messiah, or the Christ as we know him, it means the same thing, he is still the liberator of human beings. Not throwing off Roman, foreign overlords or oppressive regimes or even the virus, but liberating our deepest selves. We carry all kinds of oppressions, bad moments of our history, experiences like abuse or mistreatment, scars from our past. We're oppressed by sorrow and illness. We experience the fallenness of the world. Our minds sometimes torment us. We carry fears of what might be or what might not be. Most of us don't think about death day by day. We pretty much operate as though we were immortal. But right now, death is at our door. Literally, we are told to stay home to save lives, our own and others. Many of us are contemplating death for the first time. It could be me, someone wrote this week. This is the pandemic of fear. The promise of Jesus is liberation from these oppressions. He is the only one to turn to in times like this. Jesus said to his disciples that he'd come to give life in all its fullness, and his liberation of us comes by our surrender to him. He's the only one who has conquered death and won our liberation from fear and from our past and from our illnesses and our sorrows and all that holds us from each other and from him. He has conquered death, the great liberator. He rules over the world, and his life and death as our king. He is the Lord, the one worthy of our worship. As I face an uncertain future as you, as the coronavirus threatens our country, its economy and our livelihoods, when everything we used to treat as certain has been stripped away, when we're facing the fear of death, perhaps for the first time in our lives, then I want to trust the one who has liberated death, who rules over life, who calls me to follow. As our liberator, as our King and Lord, he wants our submission, our trust, for us to give away our control of our lives and lean upon him, to let go of pride and ambition and control and fear and bitterness and selfishness, and to focus on him and to live lives of trust. The Easter message, heralded by this deliberate act of self-disclosure, is designed to draw us more closely to him in trust and obedience and love. My brothers and sisters, the cross and resurrection we anticipate this week is the ultimate work of the Messiah who gives himself for our liberation, the ultimate work of the King who reigns over death and life and gives us hope, the ultimate work of the Lord who calls for our worship. May God bless you this week as you prepare to remember again his death for you and his resurrection to glory. Amen.
Let us together affirm our faith. We believe that Christ Jesus was in very nature God, yet he humbled himself and made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. We believe that in becoming one of us, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We believe that because of this, God has exalted him to the highest place, giving him the name that is above every name. We bow before him and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We believe that we should share his attitude of humble service. The Lord be with you. Let us together join in the prayer which Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and your truth that we may tell of your saving works. Have mercy on the poor and the oppressed. Hear the cry of those in need. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Our collect for this Palm Sunday. God of all, you gave your only begotten Son to take the form of a servant and to be obedient even to death on a cross. Give us the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, that sharing in his humility, we may come to be with him in his glory, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, give thanks. For Christ's church to bear faithful witness to his cross and to the resurrection this Easter, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For many to look to Jesus' death and see God's Son and God's love revealed, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those persecuted for their faith in Jesus as King, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For peace in our world and for all who work for peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our leaders, political, economic, and community, that as they respond to our current crisis, they would be people of integrity, justice, and wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our health workers and healthcare system, for energy, resources, and safety, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our community to reflect Jesus' attitude of humble service, acting from love, not fear, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are anxious, isolated, sick, or dying, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For us all to know that neither life nor death nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Lord, you have given us grace to agree in these our prayers, and you have promised that when two or three ask together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, Lord, our desires and prayers as may be best for us. Grant us in this life knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life eternal. Amen.
We're coming to the end of our service. As I've been doing the last couple of weeks, I want to encourage you to pick up the phone and call someone to stay connected to them. It's really important during this time of physical isolation that we stay connected to each other. If you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you and hopefully connect you with your local church. During this coming week, as we prepare to remember Jesus' death and resurrection on Good Friday and Easter Day, we invite you to visit the website and download a set of readings and reflections for each day of the week. We want to encourage people to draw near to God in these days of the coronavirus. We also invite you to join us in an online prayer meeting this Sunday afternoon, April the 5th, at 3:30 p.m. The details are on our website. We're hoping to unite 500 people in prayer for our state, our nation, and our world as we face the threat of coronavirus. The Bible teaches that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Please join the prayer meeting with us this afternoon. Let's conclude our worship in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, send us out with confidence in your word to tell the world of your saving acts and bring glory to your name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.